No, it wasn't recorded. It wasn't recorded. Everywhere I go nowadays, everyone's always asking me not to put shit on the mic, man. Yeah. Like, come on.
That's what you're all
about.
Are
we recording, Derek? We're good? Are we good? He gives me a thumbs up.
Looks like we're on.
Tyler, what's up, man?
How are you?
Haven't seen you...
2-3 weeks since we did one of these.
All right, let's first introduce Tyler. So Tyler, Stott HVAC. Stott HVAC's been around for how long now? What are we talking about?
7 years.
7 years, huh? Yeah. That's why you got gray. That's why I got gray. I'm losing it. Yeah. It's just part of the life.
I already lost it.
So, yeah, so let's go www.stotthvac.ca or .com. Sorry.
StottHVACSystems.ca.
That's it. All right, you correct me. And then on IG, it's...
Stott_HVAC.
That's what it is, right? Yeah. And then to get a hold of you, is the email, is it reach you directly, or you guys got the main email?
Me directly never hurts. Yeah. So Tyler is StottHVACSystems.ca.
So today I actually wanted to talk about, because I asked you about this beforehand, we want to talk about maintenance, right? Because I think a lot of homeowners and also maybe some businesses don't really capitalize on the opportunities attached to maintenance. And I know that you've done it really well. And I think that even at the last time I saw you were in your, when you were on the show in the studio, the other HVAC guys that were on the show were very complimentary about what you have been setting up and realizing, man, we're missing opportunities here, right? So I'd love to get you to dive more into the maintenance side, the servicing side of the whole HVAC. I get it that HVAC mechanical trades, they love the show and tell of the beauty walls, and I like I love all that stuff. To me, that's a better looking thing than a kitchen, but they're missing the opportunity of a maintenance schedule and a service schedule and dealing with customer and also reinforcing that customer relationship, because you're going to get future projects. Like, you're going to get these clients going, listen, my HVAC guy, Tyler Stott, he reminded me of this, and he reminded me of that, and he's making my system efficient, and my home is running, and it's like gone are the days of, 10-degree difference on the second floor, and then all of a sudden one temperature on the main floor, and then a different temperature on the, like, that's gone. Now we're talking about 1-degree difference, 2-degree difference, because we can control things. But that's all connected to servicing. That's all connected to maintenancing. That's what you guys are doing, right?
It's connected to a lot of things. But a lot of things. That was a big mouthful. I don't throw one question. I throw a dozen questions.
I love for you to just dive right into, you get a new tech, a new HVAC company, and discuss what else they should be looking at other than getting the styrofoam off the brand new package and then installing that unit. Where do we go from there?
I've always stressed, the HVAC business, especially on the replacement side, it's not necessarily a transaction business. It's a relationship business. You want to build a relationship with the homeowner, with the client.
Yeah.
And preventive maintenance is a part of that, not only for the equipment side of efficiencies and performance and comfort, but then you're also in the home, again, now going on the business side, you're in the home twice, 3-4 times a year, in the client's home, taking care of their needs, listening to hot spots, cold spots, what may be happening. And
is it almost
when
seasonal?
The time comes with older equipment, when they say, hey, it's time for us to think about replacing this, you've gained that trust. You've been in the home. They know you. They trust you. They're not looking elsewhere.
Like, Tyler, is it fair to say like it's almost seasonal? Like, you can almost look at, especially here in Toronto, Canada, right? Like, we have our temperatures. Is it almost like you should be focusing on 4 times that you're seeing this client after you install that equipment?
I would say twice a year at minimum, spring
minimum,
and fall.
Minimum, right? Yeah.
Spring and fall changeovers depending on our weather.
Yeah.
But that's even, that's changing depending on weather patterns of when the summer starts, how long it may be. This year would even have a winter. That's more into what you're actually maybe maintaining service-wise, but...
So it kind of brings up the question of, like, I know that we briefly touched upon it on the other show, how since we had such an unseasonably warm winter here in Toronto, other parts of Ontario are getting their typical winter. Also out west, they're getting
Coast.
East, everybody's getting their typical.
Yeah.
But I think you're getting a lot of potential manufacturers maybe taking advantage of that curve in the actual climate, right, where they're saying, well, you should probably look at these different products now because they'll be efficient enough to work, but we just had an unseasonably warm winter.
You're going down the heat pump route.
Well, I'm going down that route, right? Yeah. Because that also that involves like high maintenance schedule, a high servicing schedule attached to that, where it's like you as a business owner, you want to educate your clients and also your techs that, I mean, as much as you want to have a successful, profitable business, you don't always want to be coming back because things are failing or things are not being done properly. You want to build that relationship. that's what's more important,
that's
right?
What preventative is all about, right?
Yeah.
It's being preventative maintenance, being proactive. When you see something that potentially could be going wrong or starting to fail, you're ahead of it. You're not getting that emergency call. If you try, well, there's always going to be emergency calls, but you're ahead of it more often.
So 7 years ago, would you say that when you got started, it was almost a reactive on the servicing side, and now it's actually being more of a proactive on the servicing side?
When I started, I was always proactive on service.
Okay.
My whole business model is we build custom homes, we gain clients, whether they're furnace, AC sales, that sort of thing. And then we build the clients, and then we move them over to the maintenance, because I believe in that preventive maintenance and being in the home. I worked for a company previously that was very reactive and waited for the phone to ring. And you get a lot of ups and downs when it comes to that maintenance season. So from a business side, it made more sense to sign up clients on preventive maintenance. I know a lot of the companies out there doing it. And it's a smart business model. It's consistent. It keeps your service technicians busy in those down seasons a little bit more.
Yeah.
I just want to ask, quarterly.
Where is that previous company now? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We know where the previous company is.
No longer.
They weren't proactive, and that's the reason. I remember you and I were having conversations about how you had ideas of being more proactive and trying to figure out what is the market asking us? Like, what are we trying to build here? And they didn't want to entertain those conversations. They were just saying that's not the route we're going to go.
Yeah, they didn't want to go that route.
They're not
and,
here.
And
you're
I'm
here.
I'm not reinventing the wheel here.
No, like, no. You just saw opportunities, right?
It's just...
Along with the servicing and the maintenance, now you've got your techs, and I know that I've been watching that you've been growing more crews. So you're getting more and more HVAC specialists coming in and dedicating themselves on that side of the business, right?
Well, naturally, the more custom homes we build, more clients we bring in, the service side naturally has grown with it. So it's been a nice organic growth, and it's you can project what you have coming down the road when you have a certain amount of clients lined up on a preventive maintenance. It's very easy to project, to forecast what you've got coming up. Hey, should I put that next technician on the road this year? Oh, I think we were at capacity last fall. We better ramp up for one more guy this spring.
Yeah.
And it's much easier to grow a business when you already have that. Hey, we know we have 500 or 1,000 clients, 100 clients lined up on preventive maintenance. It's much easier to forecast and grow your business that way.
Now, the service tech people, are they, is there more interest in getting that segment, getting into that segment, versus actually just getting into the mechanical side and focusing on building new systems? Or are you seeing a shift? Like, you're starting to see a lot of younger guys? Because what I noticed is that mostly the older trades, the older HVAC guys are kind of falling into the service tech side of the industry. Is there a reason why they're doing that?
I think that's more of the natural transition, right? A lot of younger guys come in, will get into installs, you know, they'll learn their hydronics, their ductwork, their gas fitting, refrigeration, and so on. And then as you get older, and if you stay in the business and turn into a journeyman and you're in it 15, 20 years, you know, it takes a toll on your body, as construction does.
As it does.
So the natural progression is, you know, generally if you learn that side of it, you should be able to transition into the service side a little bit easier. Not saying that's always the path. I've met a lot of young technicians that have come out of school and went straight into preventative maintenance, but that tends to be all three of our technicians that I have going right now all started on installs and have all progressed to the service side.
But it's just, it just almost seems like a natural progression. Like, it just feels like it's evolution at that point where I know all these systems, even though we're here in, you know, at the trade show at CMPX here, and you're getting a lot of companies coming up with new products, but are they really new to that full extent where they've completely overhauled them? Or is it basically the same kind of guts where it's like they're just adding certain features and that's what you're maintaining the service and the maintenance on it, right? Is that the case?
I think a lot of things have changed over the years and the technology is changing fast.
So is it making it worse or more challenging? I wouldn't say worse.
It's
not
making it worse.
It's
making it more challenging. And making it more challenging for me as a business owner to make sure my technicians are up to speed on the newest technology when we take on a new product line or a new product that we're going to be installing. It's important for not only installers to know how to install it, but then service technicians also know how to fix it, how to service it, how to maintain it. So everybody's constantly going for training. And like we were just speaking with Chris earlier, they're very big on training. And that's important to have that sort of training. So things are changing fast and you got to stay up to date.
Now, how do you guys navigate? I mean, I would say that you were relatively young coming in and starting on your own. And when I say young, I'm saying that you had a lot of years of experience before you actually pulled the trigger and went on your own.
Yes, that's true.
And the thing is that I'm seeing that a lot more of the young HVAC reps or the sales guys or the mechanic guys, all those guys and girls, they're wanting to get into that, let's start my own ship kind of mentality a lot sooner. Are you seeing that as well? And the question is, are they ready to do that or should they be doing that?
I don't know if I'm necessarily seeing that so much, people wanting to go out on their own and start their own gig as much. I think a lot of guys start off working for companies, kind of trying to learn the industry, learning their craft.
Yeah.
And maybe jump into running their own show a little bit later. I don't see a lot of young guys just coming out.
They're
not jumping right into it.
Well, because I don't think you guys have the trade where it's like, oh, you guys are making oodles of money. Right, so I want to get in on that game. Like your profit margins on all the machinery and everything else. Yeah, but then also
all it takes is one bad contract.
Exactly, right? One bad job.
One bad job. Yeah. One bad custom build, or the builder maybe goes belly up. Well, they owe you a bunch of money, and then all of a sudden you're in trouble.
It's the business side at that point.
Yeah, it's not nearly as glamorous as it seems.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's where they're like, I think the HVAC one is probably the third out of the three if you're talking plumbing or electrical or HVAC. It's the third one that they're probably maybe waiting a little bit of time before they get in and figure out, let me try to go on my own. But as a plumber, as an electrician, you probably want to get on your own a lot sooner and start your own business at that point.
Well, HVAC is so diverse.
It's a team.
It's a team, but like we got hydronics, we got refrigeration, we got gas, we got tin, we got all these different ways you can go. I have known some young guys that have worked with me and decided to go out on their own. And, you know, they've decided to go off and be subcontractors for Enercare or Reliance, and they're doing very well, but all they're doing, they're swapping out their furnaces and their ACs, and they decide to go down that path.
Yeah.
Right? So I have seen young guys go that route, because there's many different paths you can take.
Are they doing that because it's easy for them to kind of achieve those contracts where they're coming in and swapping out a tank, swapping out this and moving on?
I would say it's probably a little less challenging work just going out and swapping it. Still, every set has its challenges, but swapping out a furnace or AC, it's probably a little more consistent. It's a steady pay. You know, there's some good things about that, but you're just kind of doing the same thing over and over. Where, like, I have one of my guys now, he came from Enercare. He was doing water tanks, 6 water tanks a day for...
How many years?
3-4 years. Wow. A lot of water tanks. Those things are heavy.
That gets boring
real fast,
right?
So he came over, and we gave him the opportunity to learn and so on, and never been happier.
So when you get... Okay, so you started brand new system.
Everybody's got their own path.
Everybody, yeah. That's the beauty of construction. When you get started on... You got a new client, you got a new system, you guys built a typical STOT setup up there.
Yeah.
What's the first thing you're doing for the client? Like, when you leave, you're done. Job's all good. Payment's done. What's the first thing? When's the next time you're going to see them and you're going to start talking to them about keep an eye on this, keep an eye on that?
Trade secrets. Me, personally, when we get to the end of a build... There's always, a lot of times we don't meet the client till very near the end.
Okay.
Sometimes we meet them throughout the build if it's an active client, but a lot of times it gets to the end and I like to introduce myself along with usually one of my service team members, and we introduce ourselves to the client. We're so-and-so. Our service manager sends over a very elaborate pack, not elaborate, but a detailed package on this is the equipment in your home, here's your warranties, here's our recommended maintenance along with pricing of this is what you should be doing twice a year. We would like to reach out to you, you know, spring and fall to set you up on this maintenance.
Yep.
And 99% of the time, clients are usually on board with that because it's hassle-free. A lot of times you spend a lot of money on these systems, so it's they want to take care of it. And that's usually how I get to know the client. And then they get to know our techs really well after that.
Well, it's important. You're starting to build the relationship, right?
Exactly.
And so... I'd love to actually backtrack a tiny bit at that point, because I know that you've taught me this, is when you're building new construction, you can't get that furnace in there fast enough. But you're doing it during construction, right?
Depends.
And, well, it depends on the situation, what happens. It's also nice to have a box of TAPCONs as well. You know, I'm like going with this, right? But the thing is, you need to maintain that furnace even during the construction days that you're building.
Now we're talking construction heat. We're going to open up that can of worms.
Well, you guys get the pressure from the GCs. You guys get the pressure from the trades.
Absolutely, we do all this stuff.
But then you're bringing a brand new toy into the playground.
I hate it.
And you almost want to like sacrifice that toy because it makes no sense, because you're just going to damage the hell out of that machine.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I Yeah, I'm not big on construction heat. It shouldn't be done. I'm pretty sure everybody else here is probably going to agree with me. Running brand new equipment during construction is a bad idea.
I know I've heard it from clients. Clients are the ones that bring it up.
Enbridge, they put it onto us. It's our liability now, and I've turned it around, and I've had now contractors sign. You sign off. It's your issue. You get that furnace
filled. It's too much risk.
Yeah, the amount of drywall dust, construction dust, clogging up heat exchangers, evaporator coils, if you're that far ahead of the game, it's just a bad idea. And I fight it all the time.
When you're looking at history, Tyler, and you're looking at machinery, I've joked so many times before that those green washer dryers would still be working today if we didn't get rid of them because of how they looked, right? But the machinery of today, is it lasting as long as it should be lasting, or are they not lasting as long? And that's because homeowners are not maintaining them. They're not servicing them. Is it kind of a they're both at fault kind of thing?
I would say it's a little bit A, a little bit of B.
Okay,
but,
all right.
I don't know. I've been in this industry 17 years. Sold a lot of equipment over 17 years. As you know, I started off in residential sales.
Yeah.
So I
and you've
sold
seen
a lot of boxes.
What kind of falls apart.
Yeah, absolutely. But like I'm 17 years in. I haven't seen a ton of equipment needing to be, you know, replaced when you're putting in good quality equipment and it's serviced and maintained. I haven't seen a lot of that come back around yet. There's always a handful. There's always manufactured defects.
I don't even have a gauge.
Maintain.
Like I think I got a gauge nowadays where it's like, are we talking 20 years?
I would say 20 years is a good sort of.
So if you maintain,
they say an AC 12 to 15 AC furnace, 12. You should get 20. But nowadays, now we're doing heat pumps running 10, 11 months
of
the year.
What's the prediction
on
heat pumps?
Are we going to get 20 years out of a heat pump running 11 months a year? This winter, they've been running all winter long, which we should talk about for maintenance as well with heat pumps.
But, that's where I want to go. I want to go to heat pumps and talk about maintenance because the thing is, yeah, sure. So you know what, though? They've been fully running on these warmer temps.
All winter.
All winter. They weren't specifically designed to do that. They're supposed to just kick in at a certain time and then take over, right?
I believe they're like anything, right? Like they're designed to run in the colder weather. They're designed to run all year round. But how many cycles and startups are you going to get out of that unit, out of its life expectancy, right? You kept turning your car on and off, on and off. Like,
so
is now happening with auto start anyways.
Yeah, I can't stand that.
Yeah,
I personally
neither.
Keep on shutting it off.
Yeah,
I can't stand it at all. I honestly believe every time that I forget to turn it off, I keep thinking it's actually damaging the vehicle more than it's actually helping the environment. But that's just me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so it's just I can't stand it. I got to find a guy who knows how to just switch that off completely so I don't have to deal with it.
Yeah, I agree. But
what are they saying heat pumps-wise? Are they saying you're going to get 20 years out of these things?
That's generally the consensus I'm getting across the board with different manufacturers is, yeah, you should be able to get 20 years out of it.
Okay.
Let's hope so. There's a lot of new heat pumps out there over the course of last year with the rebate program. Expensive equipment. Probably going to be expensive to repair, but we'll find out in the next 10 to 20 years.
If it's expensive equipment, then it should be expensive to maintain. Is it not?
Yeah, you would think so. Expensive to repair, not expensive to maintain. Right,
so,
preventive maintenance shouldn't be any different than washing your AC in the springtime. You're doing preventive maintenance.
Well, it's like the last time that we had a conversation where you replaced one for me. You were like, listen, at what age is this at? And I would tell you, and all of a sudden you see, and you're like, you know what, you're pretty close. You might as well look at getting a new unit, which makes sense. And now you got peace of mind for 20 years. But if I'm putting a heat pump in and I'm being told peace of mind at 20 years, and all of a sudden I start having issues with it, whatever, for like 10 years, let's say.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a little upset about it, right?
I would be too.
And then if it's going to be a question of do we repair until we finally replace.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you're going to start, I can only imagine what the heat pump's going to cost 10 years from now.
Yeah.
What those values are going to be, right?
Who knows where the industry's going in 10 years?
Balancing that, Tyler? Like, are you looking at clients and going, listen, this is what it costs to replace this and this is what it costs to replace the whole unit? Like, are you calculating what is the better route?
For going what, heat pump versus
heat pumps or furnaces or boilers, all the units themselves, right? Like you got to do a cost analysis on trying to figure out what it would cost to service it, repair it, maintain it versus replace it.
Absolutely.
You have to look at that.
Yeah,
you have that history knowing that information, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going based on previous experiences and equipment you've installed in the past, I have a pretty good idea of which equipment is going to last a little bit longer. But that's a tricky thing. Like when we run into like a diagnostic issue, we'll always say, hey, here's the cost to repair, here's the cost to replace. Try to give them a, like, you know, your return on investment that you're going to get in that sort of scenario.
Are the majority of homeowners out there, they're mostly reactive, right? So they'll only talk about
unless they're signed up on someone's
no, that's
plan.
What I'm saying. Unless you're educating them, and that's
then,
where
then
I'm,
you're reactive.
I started this whole show talking about being proactive and talking about missed opportunities in your business, right? So it's like, go find your clients that you've sold these units to and go explain to them that I can take care of this headache for you, maintain it, make it last the life of what it should last, and then replace it when it needs to be replaced, not when you're dead of winter and it's freezing and all of a sudden it dies, right? Because it wasn't looked at. It wasn't taken care of.
I run into a lot of condensers in the middle of summer that are completely clogged, full filters are completely jammed up. Wow. And they wonder why their equipment breaks down. And it's
well, because they only pay attention to it when it does break down.
You can see my service techs. We always have this on-running sort of joke sometimes where they'll post a picture because they always put the date on their filters when they put their filters in.
Okay.
And it's kind of funny. Sometimes they'll put smiley faces or little messages to each other, which is
like
just
that.
Kind of an inside joke.
I totally like that.
But then when you see the dates on them, and some people like a one-inch filter, and it's like 2 years ago, right? And you're like, huh.
They're still making one-inch
filters. And you wonder why, you know.
Why are they making even one-inch filters?
Well, they're still useful. Depends on the design.
Depends
on the static pressure of the system. You're getting into kind of the design side of things, but cheap. You're putting in a new build, and you're in a race to the bottom kind of job, and you just got to get it, like a 4-inch filter rack that costs you a couple $100 versus, or $100 versus a 1-inch filter frame that's $10.
True, it makes a lot of sense.
And you're in that market of competing for re and re business, right? A couple $100 is a big difference.
I've never had the conversation really selling the client on service and maintenance and taking care of my machinery that heats and cools my house. What are some key things that you connect with clients that you can share with them outside of, I guess, that minimum twice a year, ideally 4 times a year, look at the machinery, make sure it's good, have our service tech come out, things like that. But how do you make the conversation seem like you're talking about quartz countertops or Wolf stoves? Like, because the clients don't pay attention to this stuff. They really don't.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one, right?
Yeah, that's a
tough one. Like, what are some of the key words that you can share to them? Me, in my opinion, the key words are 4 times. I want you to come and visit me 4 times. Stop by and take a look. Just tell me what's going on. Is there
minimum
something
minimum 2 times.
Yeah.
I recommend 2 times.
In my
times.
Opinion.
If you're getting into larger homes that are running systems a little bit more often, 4 times. Is a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, or if someone just says, I don't want any headache, like just come in 4 times a year, change my filters, check everything, then yeah. But I think for your typical homeowner, like twice a year is a good interval for maintenance.
And what's
but
the average
like, cost? You're trying to say, like, how do you convince somebody that the importance of that?
Yeah.
It's the same. Why do you get an oil change on your car? Right?
You like, do it because it lights up.
These new heat pump systems, some of them are $20,000, $25,000.
Yeah.
You've invested on these systems and you're not going to spend $300 a year to do a little bit of preventive maintenance and some checks on your flame sensors and igniters and
is that basically
refrigerant
what we're
levels
talking about?
And so on and so forth.
We're like, basically talking about $300 a year to kind of help you.
$400 a year depending on the equipment and where it's located and so on, but...
Is that looking at the whole system? So if you're looking at the AC, you're looking at the furnace, you're looking at the boiler, you're looking at the hot water tank, you're looking at everything, right?
Yeah. A lot of variables go into that. Depends on the amount of equipment in the home, the type of equipment. You know, it depends on everybody's pricing structure is a little bit different in what they charge, right? But, you know, it could be some guys do furnace cleanings for $79.95. I don't know how they do it, but they do it.
Here's a question for you, Tyler. What is the market asking for when it comes to the heart of your home, and what is the HVAC industry asking for? And if you can answer that question, what I mean by like, are they skewing towards instant hot water tanks? You know what I mean? Are they skewing towards heat pumps? Is it all client homeowner driven going towards these items? But are the HVAC specialists also on board with these items? Because of the service and maintenance and replaceability factor, because you guys as professionals know when that's potentially going to fail and what needs to be replaced. Homeowners don't necessarily know that, but they're being educated by outside sources telling that we need to get this and we need to get that.
We need to go heat pumps.
We need to go rebates. Yeah. We can get a rebate on this. Yeah, we can get a rebate on all this other shit. But the thing is that you guys know if they're going to last or not. So are they side by side? Are they the same list? Are they looking at like the homeowner saying we want a heat pump, we want an on-demand system, we want a power vented hot water tank, we want a boiler, we want a furnace, like what is it? But then the HVAC specialist, what are they saying you should get? There's two different lists, right?
Well, I think over the course of the last year, no one's really listening to us at this point, but I think over the course of the last year, the heat pumps have been huge. Right?
Like just because of the rebate.
Just because of the rebate. It just drove that industry. And, you know, we're moving towards, you know, net zero, right? We're trying to get off of natural gas. So the shift towards being fully electric, like it's already happening.
So what happens 5 years down the line when all of a sudden these heat pumps all start having issues? If they are going to have issues, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. We could run into a lot of people that are upset, might not have cooling. Good thing with a lot of heat pump systems we're putting in, they're also working with a gas furnace or an electric air handler, hydronic air handler, whatever it may be.
Okay.
So if the heat pump does go down, you still have another source of heat. So that's the one beautiful thing about a heat pump is you actually have two ways to heat your house. And as the systems are getting smarter, you're able to set these systems up based on fuel costs. Right. And I think we've talked about possibly, you know, the storing of electricity while it's cheap at night and then using it to, you know, heat your heat pumps during the day.
Are they actually doing that?
Are we moving towards that? So
I guess they can try to move towards that, but I look at it more like I'm more interested in finding out the longevity of the home.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of building a home with a system that looks pretty and you got a rebate at the very beginning?
In 10 years, it goes down.
And it goes down. Yeah. And now you got to replace it. Like, nobody wants to start replacing big ticket items so early into owning a property, right? Mm-hmm. That makes no sense. You want to maintain those units.
The best we can do as contractors is maintain it as best as possible, you know, with cleaning your condensers, with staying on top of your preventive maintenance. And these systems last 20 years. You want to talk about longevity? You got a whole whack of manufacturers there to answer those
then
questions
they'll be able to
on what they're
going
to tell you how long these things are supposed to last. I know some of the new heat pumps we're putting in, they're built pretty well.
Okay.
And some of the new technologies are great where our technicians don't even have to hook gauges up to read refrigerant levels. It's actually on the board or it's in the smart thermostat. It will actually tell you your refrigerant, your subcool, and so on. So no more hooking up gauges and looking that little bit of refrigerant loss every time you do preventive maintenance. You're actually able just to take a peek and see where things are. So I think the technology...
That's a nice little detail.
It's a great detail.
I like that, yeah.
Right? So that's a good move forward. But again, going back to how long these things are going to last... Let's hope 15, 20 years, but it's all about staying on top of it, not letting that condenser getting completely clogged out so you're burning out a compressor because the unit can't breathe.
But that's the twice
it's
a year.
It's about installing it in the right place, too. That's some things that guys and some contractors don't understand. These units need to breathe. Heat pumps need to run a defrost cycle where they're actually releasing water off of the outdoor unit. It needs to be put in a proper place so it can function at its max capacity.
Right. Are you guys still finding homeowners that are just burying the mechanical rooms with a bunch of stuff right up against the units and everything and just using it?
Oh, every time.
It's all the time,
Not
right?
all the time, but...
But it's like it's...
Talk to my service manager, my text about
it shouldn't be happening
one,
at all, right?
And like, we put that email out. We put that reminder, hey, please remember to clean out that mechanical room before we show up to do our preventative maintenance. And you get there and it's a storage room. And that's technically against code. It's a fire hazard. You're
it's a fire
supposed
hazard.
To do that.
100%.
And our guys have to spend 20 minutes pulling thing out of the way to get in there to do the maintenance. And
It's just because you got homeowners that don't realize that that's not really, that's just valuable space in the house and they might as well just use it for whatever they want to use it, right?
Yeah, and Toronto's, you know, but typical Toronto home,
but
storage is minimal.
Like, are they wearing and tearing that machinery a lot faster by doing that? 100%, right?
I wouldn't say it's wearing and tearing the machine anymore.
No?
No. Not unless you're like a condenser, if you're laying stuff up against it or
building
a fence around it and making it suffocate, then you're doing some damage. But, you know, to an air handler, if you just put boxes around it, it's more of a fire hazard. It's more of a...
Hasn't the industry made it so convenient for the homeowners nowadays to get these alerts now? Because we're getting all this new technology. And is it... But, I mean, also, this is the one frustrating thing that I had a bone to pick with. The spinner vans is that whenever there was a little problem, it could be a big problem or a little problem, you get a notification on the dash right away, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like...
We get lots of those.
Yeah, I know, because that's why they're nicknamed the Christmas tree. They don't like that, but that's just how it is.
I got a good spinner mechanic if you need one.
So that's what happens. But the thing is, are these new units, these machines, are they bringing up all kinds of bells and whistles? Like, okay, here's an issue, here's an issue, here's an issue. Small or big?
Not really. I think in your forced air equipment, I think it's more alerts.
Okay.
You know, you get a lot of alerts now, and that's a lot. I find that a lot more with boilers, actually. Like, boilers diagnostic right on the screen that'll be on the boiler. I'm not going to name any manufacturers, yep. but there's a lot of alerts that come up, which then scare homeowners. Because, like, what's going on? What's this big alert on my boiler? What's happening? And we have to walk them through. Like, it's not a breakdown. It's not a shutdown. It's an alert. It's alerting you that maybe the flame's a little bit low. Maybe
caution. That's all.
Maybe we got some... it's a windy day, and you got some wind coming down through the venting.
Okay.
Which just caused that to happen. So, there's a lot of alerts more on the hydronic side than there is on the forced air. But even, like, Ecobee, for example, they give you alerts. They got a lot of great alerts.
Lots.
Yeah, you get a lot of alerts.
But you also get the
high temperature, low temperature, low humidity.
You can dismiss it. You can just go, yeah, thank you for the alert, move on.
Yeah, or your system's been running for 2-3 hours and the temperature has gone down 2 degrees. But these alerts are great, though. You're on vacation,
yeah,
and you get that alert to your Ecobee from or your smart thermostat saying, hey, something's wrong here. That's a great feature to have, because the next thing you know, we get the email. Hey, what's going on at my house? Yeah.
And they're just reaching out to you to find out because they're patched in.
Yeah.
But you're not patched in. You're never.
I'm not patched in. Usually we have to get their username and password, and they trust us to log in onto their Ecobee.
Yeah.
It's funny. Sometimes we actually get that, and I'll log in, and I'm like, all right, well, so who was playing with the thermostat? Because someone just turned it down to 16 degrees. That's why your house is cold. And then we have a good chuckle, and they're like, thank you for saving me the service call. And you're like, you're welcome.
Okay.
That'll be $200 for my 5 minutes.
But what you're doing is you're just continuing building the relationship with the homeowners, because you, technically speaking, you're putting all this machinery in there for the next 2 decades.
Yeah, and that's my philosophy, right, is treat people the way you want to be treated. If someone calls in, we can diagnose it over the phone. We always try to do that. Because then that leaves that client happy.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, something happens to their neighbor, their friend, their brother or sister. Then they're calling you. And then that leads to more business. And that's how we've grown very organically over the years, just by giving that level of customer service and being proactive. We always try to ask, you know, our service manager will ask 6, 8, 10 different questions when someone calls in and says they have no heat. We'll say, have you tried this? Have you tried that? Have you tried this? Have you reset the furnace? Have an older thermostat? Have you changed the batteries lately? So on and so forth. Someone that may be not on our preventive maintenance, but will call us with an emergency. So,
do you think it's worth it that homeowners actually spend the time and effort and try to speak to a professional like yourself to better educate themselves about the machinery that's keeping their house heat warm and cool? Or is it not really a waste of time where they're going to just hire you to bring it in, right? They take care of it for you.
Some clients are interested in that. Some clients really want a nice mechanical room and want the, you know, the top of the line systems and a pretty system. And you know, you look at all these social media influencers out there, like they build some nice systems.
Yeah.
And
everyone's taking a lot more pride in their work, right? But I want
Instagram's done that. We're all trying to one up each other.
I want the systems to run really well for the next 20 years, right? What I want to start seeing on social media is I'd love to see more and more influencers showing systems that are 10, 15, 20 years old. Show me systems that have been around this while and they've been maintained. They've been taken care of.
And I think
this
clients,
was replaced.
Yeah.
Right?
I think clients, too, a lot of them now, they want to be educated. They want to know what's in their home. But at the same time, they don't want to think about it. They just, like, set the temperature. I want it to be comfortable. I want to be happy. I don't want breakdowns.
Yeah.
And if something does break down when I call you, I want someone to answer the phone or respond. Like it's
like the client saying, I want to talk to the to you about this, but I don't want you to talk to me about it.
Yeah.
Well, how do we talk about this then?
Yeah, well, that too. But
that's just basically how it is, right? It goes back to them being reactive and not proactive, and they got to just maintain. So bare minimum.
Which I stress being proactive and let us
twice
come in
a year. Twice
come
a year.
Come in your home. Let's maintain.
When are you talking about? What part of the year are you talking about? You seasonal.
Really weather dependent, right?
Like, okay.
You're gonna get out there and try to, you know, do maintenance on an AC or a heat pump in the springtime. You got to wait till the weather warms up a bit.
Yeah.
So it's usually like the mad dash, like. That's why us in the HVAC business, you get that nice gentle spring that rolls in 17, 18, 20 degrees gradually through the early April, mid-April's great. Doesn't usually happen. May would be great. And you can slowly get into it. Like the couple of years where we go from winter to 30 degrees in May, it's a lot. Because everybody's...
What is the average? Like people, I don't kick it in until it hits about 30. Like, I mean, are most people kicking in their AC when what? At what temperature? 20?
Much. It depends on the home, Manny. Like,
how cool they want to keep it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, some people run. I have low ambient on air conditioning systems all throughout the city. People running ACs all year round. They might have a lot of glass. They might have a lot of thermal gain.
Wow.
Someone might particularly like it cool because that's just the way of their home.
Which
you know,
just,
houses nowadays, you know, we're building so tight.
Yeah.
Right? So the cooling loads are much higher and the heating loads are much lower.
Yeah, we haven't even dove into the HRVs, ERVs, and service and maintenance on that.
They should be done too.
I don't know a single client that actually has cleaned the filters, has replaced the filters, knows there's even filters.
Probably doesn't.
You know what I mean? So it's like those need to be done twice a year, no?
And they're pretty easy filters to clean. Like they both just have, you know, HRVs, ERVs will have pre-filters around the core. And they're just sponge filters. You pull out, you clean them, they deteriorate over time and you replace them. But then you've got to pull the actual core out and vacuum and clean the core. It's a little bit more involved for maybe the average homeowner. But if you're a little bit mechanically inclined, it's something you can do yourself. I'm not very mechanically inclined. I don't come from a background on the tools.
No, but that's
I clean my
thing.
HRV. You know,
yeah, but that's
three,
another thing that you guys
here.
Would come in. That's part of the maintenance
exactly.
schedule.
Exactly. We come in and do that cleaning.
You take care of that. But a lot of homeowners don't even probably think about that. Yeah. I think their extent, like the majority of them, is just the furnace filter.
Change the furnace filter.
Just
yeah.
it. Just the furnace filter.
You get the odd client that washes down their condenser in the springtime. I'll get that too.
Really?
But they don't do a full cleaning. Like, you know, when you're doing an AC maintenance, you're supposed to take the casing off of the AC, do some coil cleaner, wash it down. Right.
Or how about pets? And you talk about urine. I remember when we had that conversation.
Yeah.
Urine is like a major culprit to killing these units outside.
Oh, absolutely.
And the pets know it. They just keep on going there. That's their go-to place. Yeah. And all of a sudden it fails and the client's like, we don't understand.
That brings up another thing that you see in preventive maintenance too, especially in the spring, why it's important. You think, oh, I wash my condenser, it's fine. You know how many little rodents our guys will find? Inside the unit, maybe they've gone in, they've chewed up a little bit of electrical.
True.
They have to that's why we pull off the panels, we check the electrical connections,
it's
check your contactor, your capacitors, like being proactive. And we find a lot of little guys zapped after the winter times. They go turn their AC on, they don't know what's going on. We show up and there's a little rodent living in there, and well, not living anymore, but
but that's
it
all part of the maintenance.
It's part of like
it's
why
all part of
you
it,
should
right?
get it done by a
Any
trusted
concerns?
Professional and company that knows what they're doing and
What about terminations? Because now we're, like, with you guys, you get more systems, you get more toys, you're getting all these terminations coming out of the structure, you're getting, you know, 6-inch air intakes, 6-inch out, you're getting all kinds of, I guess, exhaust lines going in and out, but I guess you just got to pay attention, that no critter, nobody's coming in, or no blocking, or the neighbor hasn't built something, or propped something up close and blocked it. Like, you don't want all this back stuff, right?
I think if you put in a proper termination with a proper screen, you don't really have to worry about any rodents getting in.
Yeah.
So I think you're good there. I think the trickiest thing with terminations would probably go back to dryers and any sort of lint you might get caught up within the dryer venting system or at the termination. Right? That's probably the biggest thing to
My biggest part is the corrugated pipe. I can't stand corrugated pipe.
It's got to be hard pipe.
Always
you
hard
tape
pipe.
It, no
tape
screws.
It, no
Make
screws.
Make it clean and straight. If it's longer, you should always put an external lint trap in so you can actually have that double catch on it before
but see,
it goes
that,
to the
that's
outside.
Part of, that's part of your maintenance. Like, you got to take, you're going to look at that and go, here's a list. You guys obviously have a dryer, right?
Yeah.
Well, you got to look at a dryer. You have a rental unit. Okay, well, there's a second dryer.
Yeah.
Now there's a second exhaust.
Yeah.
And then you got those vents and those returns. You got all kinds of stuff. Like, so it's like, look at all that stuff. That's all
right.
valuable information that you need to make sure it's all working really well, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That comes back to duct cleaning, especially with dryers, too, because they have special equipment to clean out the dryers. Like, I know there's some really neat tools now, though, and, like, they're all here probably where you hook them up to the drills and they go into the dryer.
And they just go ahead and clean it all up?
And they coil it all up and they pull it all back out. So there's some really neat technology
there.
I haven't really
gotten
into dryer cleaning all that much unless we have our custom builds where we got external lint traps. Like, we always check those. Because sometimes those are not easily accessible. Sometimes they're behind a cabinet. Sometimes they're harder to get to.
What's the longest camera you guys have nowadays?
Oh, you'd have to ask the boys. I think our scope goes 20 feet down.
So you could just store it right inside there, and you can actually
that comes in handy.
Take a look at it and see what's going on. But then you could also show the client that too. Going, by the way, here's what's going on inside there, right?
It really helps with figuring out problems with hot and cold spots. If a run's not getting enough air, For example, I ran into that recently, actually, on a custom build we
finished. What was the culprit?
And I was in there air balancing, and I ran into the master or the primary closet, and there was zero airflow. Zero. Not like a trickle, like I have to balance. Like, there was zero. And then we dug deeper, and I brought in George, our service tech, came in with the camera and scoped it, and we ran into, there was a blockage. The run was crushed, and we found a bunch of spray foam inside the run. So somehow the run got crushed. It was near an exterior
During construction.
It wasn't caught. We figured it out. It was no problem. Luckily, it was in the mechanical, like off the mechanical
room. So it was accessible.
It was accessible. We opened it up, fixed it, and bang, we got airflow going. But man, did that ever help having a camera to scope it out?
I remember.
Just like thermal cameras when you get into Infor and the Radiant.
I remember. I don't know if it was you or if it was George or if it was somebody else that actually taught me that if you are going to go spray foam, you have to tape every single joint.
Absolutely. You should be taping every joint anyways. Yeah. That's code. You have
too much of a risk,
fully
right?
Sealed on the supply.
Yeah.
And it should be code on the return. It's not, but I'm sure it's coming.
On the
return? Fully return, not using like drywall as your return air cavities.
I heard that it's coming.
Like, we always use thermal pan to take up our space.
Yeah, which I always liked.
Sorry,
because
plumbers out there did
not
go through our return
airs. That's
the
thing is, you got the electricians, you got the plumbers, you got everybody just driving right through that cavity. And I'm like, no, you thermal pan it, so then you won't be doing that.
Yeah.
That's an education to you to tell you that that's not your location. Find another body, right? Another joist. No, I get it. Well,
soon it'll be fully ducted at some point, but...
You think so?
We're getting off topic again.
So, I mean, what else? Are you seeing anything? Because obviously you're looking at education. You're looking at new products. You're walking around the show here. You're trying to figure out how far advanced we're going. Like, we're going to see, other than the bullshit talk about each heat pumps and everything like that, but what else are we technically seeing down the pipe? Because I just assume that the more tech you bring into HVAC, the more maintenance and service is going to be attached to that.
Well, more educated you got to be to install it and
first
to maintain
learn
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's already moving pretty fast. That's a good question. I still got to walk around the show and check out some more technology.
Find out what's going on from there, right?
That's coming up.
I think that's it, Tyler. You think that's it? Is there anything else you want to share?
I'm good on my end. Anything else you want to talk about here?
Everybody's just doing their social.
No, everybody's just having a beer and hanging out, doing their thing anyway. So it was fun chatting with you again.
It's always good to see you, Tyler. Thanks so much. Just share with everybody again. So it's .hvac. And then on the website is www.hvacsystems.
Yeah,
.ca. Yep. And then the email to get a hold of you.
Tyler, it's .hvacsystems.ca.
And then on IG, it's .hvac_systems.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I got to say, I love everybody's... branding up here.
I didn't even know they were going to put my logo
looks good.
Up there.
Looks
it's
good.
Up there. It's nice.
You're right up there, too. But it
I
looks
know,
good
right?
with all the rest of the influencers up here.
It looks like it's legit.
I'm just missing my icon. It's got to get up there at some point.
Well,
but
icon?
I'm just not as big as the rest of these social media influencers.
All you got to do is just hop,
maybe
on,
one day.
Hop on everybody else's show. That's all you do.
Yeah,
just keep
exactly.
on. You know, actually,
riding on
hop on
else's
everybody
show.
Else's show. That's it. Yeah. Tyler, always great to see you, man.
Yeah, you too.
Appreciate it. That's it. We're gone.
We're done. Thanks, Manny.
Man.